You ever had been challenged to do something you've never done before, or you weren't prepared to do, and now you had to do it? You know, years ago when I was 16, I had just gotten my license, I had a permit. I didn't have a license yet. Didn't drive much. I had a Dodge Omni. If you know what that is, you know it's about the smallest car you can buy. Yeah, I fit in it somehow. And tiny. But I was working at the time for a lawn care company, weed eating, mowing, bush trimming, it was a big company, and someone got hurt on the job, and they had to leave. Well, we had big pickup trucks pulling very long trailers full of equipment, needing a driver in the middle of nowhere, far from where we're supposed to stay. And the driver was gone, and the boss got a hold of me. I was the only one on site. He said, "Ron, I need you to take the truck and the equipment." And I reminded him, you know, a 15-year-old, I'll drive anything. I'm good. I reminded him, I'm only on a permit. I was scared, though, because this was a big thing. And just leaving where we were, I'd had to cross four lanes of traffic in a very long vehicle now that I had never done before, pickup and a long trailer. So he spoke to me, gave me instructions on where to go and how to go, and he told me, just don't do anything stupid. He let me know that was the task he needed me to accomplish right now, but that he had my back, and I needed to do it safely. And he told me how to do it. See, he prepared me for the task so that I had the knowledge on how to do it, and I could go forward in doing it knowing I had his support. Now, I don't support that at all. I'm not trying to encourage that action because I still believe 36 years later that was a dumb idea. Okay? But I did it. We have a situation like that in Scripture today. As last week we started looking at a man named Cornelius, he was a good old boy, a religious man wanting to honor God. He prayed. He did good things. He was generous and gave to people, but he had never placed his faith in Jesus Christ. He did not have the understanding of Christ. And because of Cornelius, his desire to honor God, God gave a way for him to know Jesus, a way for him to be saved. He sent an angel with a message to Cornelius saying, go get Peter, telling Cornelius to go get somebody Cornelius had never met. And he told him exactly where Peter would be. And so Cornelius, being a powerful and rich man, sent for Peter. And Cornelius, with the heart to honor God, wasted no time. He knew this was the Word of God. And as you and I need to learn, when it's the Word of God, we quit making excuses and we get busy right away. Cornelius didn't sit there asking questions. He didn't say but. He just simply called his people and said, go get Peter. God has sent for Peter. However, Peter wasn't yet ready for this task. And that's what's so neat. As God has already had a task for Peter ready, but Peter was not yet prepared. And just as he is preparing Peter for the task, he does the same for you and I. He already has tasks ahead of you and I that we have the privilege to accomplish, that he has entrusted us with, and we don't even know how yet. But he's going to prepare us in areas of life that we're going through right now. He prepares us for the next step. So let's look at the lesson God is teaching Peter here in Acts chapter 10. Go down to verse 8. It says, and when he had declared all these things unto them, that is Cornelius speaking to his people, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and he would have eaten. But while they were made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open and certain vessel descending unto him, And it was been as a great sheet knit at all four corners and let down on the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I thank you for loving us, for being right here with us, for your spirit that will teach us all your word. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's never placed faith in you, this could be the day of salvation. Lord, for each one of us believers, that we'd have a desire to grow, to let you do the work that you want to do in our lives, in each circumstance, whether we like it or not, that we understand that you are at work. Lord, let us be faithful. Give us the strength and the desire to honor you in everything we say and do. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, this is really a neat little story that we really evaluated in Sunday school, and we'll continue breaking it down here. But if you notice, men are on their way to get Peter now because Cornelius has sent them to come and speak to him. And you notice what Peter's doing right now. And that's the first thing you see. Peter is praying. Peter's praying. As people are coming to call Peter, Peter went to pray. And did you notice where he went to pray? On the housetop. Pretty interesting. On the housetop. You know, this was not a normal place for us to spend time, but it was normal for them to spend time. That's why we see a few stories of people on the rooftop, because in the city it was very crowded. They didn't have patios or big yards, or often not any yard at all. The roofs were the gathering place, a place that they could go and be by themselves. You know, the crowded city did not provide any silence, give any privacy, allow him to focus. It would just disturb him. But Peter found his quiet time to spend with God. Peter needed that quiet time just like you and I do. He needed a time to go and just pray, to listen to God speak by reading his word. That's where Peter is right now. He found his quiet place that he goes and humbles himself before God. He says, "God, speak to me." Because see, prayer is not about taking a stand. Too often we have made it about taking a stand. We're going to go pray around the flagpole. That's a good thing. We should pray. We should go to the schools and pray. We should be praying outside. We pray everywhere. Pray without ceasing, right? But we don't go to the flagpole so that everybody can see us praying and we're taking a stand. We're going to the flagpole to humble ourselves before a holy God. That's what prayer always is. It's never to take a stand. You see, prayer is about being bold before the throne of God, but not bold before people. It's not about attention. It's about humbling myself before God. Now, we don't know how long Peter had been up there. Something about, it's noon now, the sixth hour. Their day started at 6 o'clock. And something happened about noon. Remember, he was hungry. And what do you think he's thinking about? Every other one of us guys is thinking the same thing at that time. What's she fixing for me? Yeah? And he's waiting for dinner to get ready, and he was ready to eat. So God took this time to teach him a lesson, to prepare him for the task. Peter falls into a trance. You know, it's a place that God placed him, of half conscience. Well, you know what's going on, but you can't control your body. There's no movement. And Peter would listen, but he couldn't move. Truth is, sometimes God places us in situations where we can't do anything but listen. You ever been there? It's sad. It's hard. It's frustrating. It's angering at times. Sometimes God removes any ability from you to be able to do anything on your own so that you have to, let's be honest, shut up and listen. Whew. And if we do, we find the biggest blessing from God. That's where Peter's at right now. God wanted to speak to him. He wanted to teach him, just like he wants you and I to listen. And notice in verse 11 and 12 in the vision, heaven's opened. And down comes a vessel like a big sheet that's attached to you, and I would probably call it a picnic basket. And inside that sheet was all sorts of animals. Probably had monkeys to cows, dogs and chickens, deer, pigs, snakes. You and I know how to take care of our hunger now, don't we? Grab your gun. Yeah? I don't know what you're going after, but that cow got some good parts to it. I like bacon, too. Yeah? It's quiet out there. Okay, I know it's turkey season right now. Some people are grabbing a gun to go fix the hunger of their family. You know, and so God gives this hungry man, Peter, a command. In verse 13, there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." How about you? I'm hungry and God gives me that order. I don't think twice. Yes, sir. You've commanded, and sometimes I hear his voice and it wasn't really him. So just in case it was you, Lord, right? No, Peter here is told, go get you some food. This food descended from heaven. That's going to be the sweetest hunting you've ever had, Peter. I sent this to you. But I want us to notice something that we might laugh about Peter here. But the truth is, it's a picture of his faithfulness. Peter responds to this command. And look at verse 14. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." This is actually a picture of his faithfulness. Not his rebellion against God. Because see, Peter answers God, "No, Lord, no. No, 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 I'm not going to go hunt and eat." Peter recognized his voice being of God. He said, "Not so, Lord." So why would he refuse the order? Did he think God was testing him? Are you going to stay faithful to the law? Did he think maybe God was poisoning him as punishment? No. You see, remember, Peter was raised under the Jewish law. And we're not going to pull up all the law like we did in Sunday school. But he followed the Old Testament law, wanted to remain pure and holy and honor God. And so in verse 14 he says, "I've never eaten anything that's inappropriate, anything that's impure, anything that's unlawful." Because if you go back to Leviticus chapter 11, there's all kinds of foods that the Jewish people, the people of God, were not to touch. Stuff that you and I enjoy daily, or we'd like to enjoy daily. Stuff like pork. Shrimp, shellfish, all kinds of seafood, insects, scavenger birds, and all kinds of other animals. So it seems that most of these animals are dirty animals. They eat off the sea floor, wallow in the muck. They're just dirty. But the purpose of the separation for the Jews in the Old Testament was to show a separation of them from everybody else. It separated the people of God, the Jews, from all others. The Jews, the Hebrews, were to be a distinct people, separated from all other nations. They were created for God's use and God's glory. They're the only nation that was created after the beginning of time. When later he came to Abraham and said, I'm going to make a special nation. Now I'm going to pause right here and tell us we need to stop and pray for Israel. Right now, in a serious way. Israel is the nation of God that he has used and that he is going to use. And they're under attack. And they have been under attack since Bible times. And the scripture tells us that in times they're going to be attacked from all sides. And we're seeing that intensify right now. Am I saying the end times are right now? No, the end times began when Christ resurrected. We don't know when it is. This is just a picture of what's happening. But we see that the people of God that we're supposed to care about, that we're supposed to have a covenant to take care of and love, are under attack. They're being hated. And our very nation is calling. We have groups of people calling for us to side with their enemy. It's sad. You look at the map, there's just a little dot on the map. It's nothing size of a country, and yet God has protected them from major nations. Keep them in prayer. Pray that God protect them, but also that those that are Jews would come to know Jesus Christ through this. There will be a day of revival, and that's when the Jews come to know Christ. We see that in the book of Revelation. But we see here that that's the people that that Peter was associated in front with. He wanted to still obey the Old Testament to honor God. And Peter has been faithful to this law. He didn't want to defile himself before the Lord. Do you know that's supposed to be you and I as believers? No, I don't mean referring to the Old Testament law, but the scripture tells you and I, be ye not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're not supposed to look like the world. Peter actually calls us a peculiar people, a different people, a set aside people. And yes, the world will look at us and say, you're weird. And we say, that's right. Because we're supposed to shine in a dark world. We're supposed to be set apart. We're supposed to be different. If you and a buddy from work are just alike, there's a problem. There should be a difference in you. Your passion should be different. Your words should give grace. Right? And that's Peter. He wants that with his life, and he's still stuck in the Old Testament, in the law, saying, this is how I show I'm of God. And he didn't want to defile himself. He didn't want to break God's law. But Peter did not yet understand he needed the work of Jesus Christ. And so now we see God's lesson. God's lesson to Peter. Peter was about to hear something new, a new teaching. And the problem is this clashed with his lifelong lesson. You know, when someone teaches you something contrary to the way your mama did it, that's a hard lesson, isn't it? When someone teaches you something different or contradicts your mama or says your mama was wrong, oh my goodness, that's fighting words, amen? But you know what? Sometimes we got to realize that if mama contradicted God's word, mama was wrong. Daddy was wrong. Pastor was wrong. And that's what Peter's about to learn here. He's going to have to accept truth. And look at verse 15. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, while God is cleansed, that call not thou common. That was done thrice. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Three times Peter and God, or God's messenger here, had this conversation. Three times. If I say something to my kids three times, they're going to know it's important, right? Parents? And God is patient. And three times, he makes his messenger tell him his word. Three times, he says, listen, don't call anything impure that I have purified. See, God wanted Peter to catch this because Peter was about to go and preach, to teach to the Gentiles. And Peter needed to know that he wasn't going to go and teach the law. Because remember, we talked about the big argument, you must be circumcised to be saved. And the Jews, I'm sorry, the apostles made it real clear. No, salvation is by faith alone in the work of Jesus Christ. And the Jews struggle with that because for 1,000 years they've been following the law. No, you must be circumcised. You must do this. You must do that. You must give your tithes. You must bring the sheep. You must. And now he's hearing, no, that's been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But also there was another problem. Peter was about to be sent to the Gentile territory, into the land of the Gentile. Now, to you and I, that doesn't sound big because we can travel all over the place today. And I hope you do. Traveling is awesome to see how God works all over this world. But understand, for Peter to enter Gentile territory was very impure. It was dirty. He might not be accepted back by his people. But it's also illegal. He was not to enter the home of a Gentile person. And he could have to suffer the repercussions for that. So God is trying to teach a vital lesson here to Peter because Peter's going to put his life on the line here. It could undo all the work Peter has done to be a holy man up to now. But now he's learning, oh, it ain't about what I've done. It ain't about me. See, God's answer to Peter was this in verse 15. While God has cleansed, that call not thou common. The things that used to show you faith in God are no longer effective because Jesus has made all creation clean. God is not changing Peter's diet plan. He's changing his view into seeing how God has purified things. And then he tells Peter this, if I cleansed it, don't you call it common or unholy or undefiled. I mean, in Ephesians here, listen to this. Paul gives a little bit more detail in Ephesians 2. Listen to this carefully. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in his ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And here it is. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Where was the enmity? Where was the sin taken care of? At the cross. Not in your good works, but at the cross of Christ, he can reconcile. Jesus abolished all the law with his own body. Those things that were unclean, that symbolized sin, were nullified on the cross, where he made things pure. This does not nullify the moral law, the ceremonial law that we see repeated to the church in the New Testament. What it nullifies it is when it's separating of Jews and Gentiles. It nullifies those laws that would prevent a man from worshiping God. All can worship God now. God has opened up access to his throne. God has allowed you to bring your worship directly to him, because if you remember, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he took that last breath, what happened? The curtain ripped. From the top to the bottom. Opening up access to the Holy of Holies, where a Shekinah of glory would come. And now all men had access to God, not just that one holy priest once a year. You see, God says now all have access to the throne. All can come. Now Jesus accepts any man that will come by faith. Gentiles were seen by the Jews as unclean. Jews that didn't keep the law was unclean. Now in Christ, both can be clean. The reason you and I can be clean today is because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Not because you do anything special. You with me? Is it too hot? I'm just wondering because I'm burning up. I got a couple that are saying, amen, it's hot. There's a couple of saying, don't you even take a step that way. And so my life was threatened. I felt it in the eyelid. If you look in Galatians chapter 3, go over to Galatians 3 with me. As Peter is learning this new thing, that the law is not what brings salvation, the law is not what makes you holy. He's learning that Christ is the center of holiness. Christ is the provider of holiness. Christ is the reconciler of man. Paul wrote to the people of Galatia in the book of Galatians chapter 3. If you go down to verse 24. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under that schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Power of the cross. Does the law have a purpose? yeah, the law has a purpose. The law has one purpose, and that's to bring you to the Savior, according to verse 24 right there. The law, it will show you your sinfulness. The law will show you how many times you failed. The law will show you how badly you need a Savior. That's the purpose of the law. And once the purpose of the law is fulfilled, you can have a relationship directly with God Himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus killed the effect of sin to all who believe. Now, if you don't place your faith in Jesus Christ, humble yourself before Him. Call on His name for salvation. Guess what? You with me? You're still under the law. If you've not accepted the one who has fulfilled all the law, the one who had never sinned, never violated the law, 600 and some odd laws in the Old Testament, He never broke one of them. If you don't place your faith in Him, you're responsible to keep all those laws. And here's a bit of insight. You haven't. Why? How do I know that? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. But you're still held to the law if you don't place your faith in Christ. And what does that mean? You receive the due punishment of law. The wages of sin is death. But once you place your faith in Jesus Christ, the law is nullified. Why? He fulfilled the law in your place. He is the holiness for you. He is the righteous one so that you can take on His righteousness. That's not very fair, is it? I'm a dirty scoundrel, and the Holy One gives me His holiness. I accept. And I say that because today, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're condemned by the law. And there will be a judgment where God will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." Or He can say, "Come in. Come unto me, all you who have heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He calls you to Himself, but you must come under the blood of Jesus Christ. See, after this lesson, hard one to learn, and as Peter's going to go and minister to the Gentiles, here's a very encouraging part in this text I want us to look at, just the final point. And that's Peter's confusion. Peter's confusion. Look at verse 17. "Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate." Now go back to the very beginning of that verse. People were there knocking, "Hey, Peter, we're here for you." And look at the beginning of that verse. "Now while Peter," what? "Doubted." Makes me feel a lot better that I don't understand everything. Peter was confused. He doubted in himself. Imagine what Peter is going through right now. Everything I've learned all my life, everything I've been taught, I've always looked at the Gentiles as dirty people. I've always walked according to law, and now I've got to understand that it's faith in Jesus, not my own works. Now I still continue to do works, but it's out of love for Jesus. That Christ made it all clean, and he's trying to understand this. He says, Now I was under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant of God. Now I'm under a new covenant, the New Testament. The message is changed from do to done. From the law to the law has been completed. Everything has changed for Peter. And the truth is, all it has done is it's been fulfilled. Peter, what had been promised to him. But he's still trying to process. He's trying to learn. He's trying to let the Holy Spirit settle these things in his heart. What's going on? And notice during Peter's confusion, the men arrive and they're out here knocking. "Hey, God's task is ready for you. God's calling. You get the privilege to come preach." He's about to be taken to teach and to preach to Gentiles. You imagine his nerves. I don't know that I completely get this lesson. How am I going to preach this? Trust me, when God called me to pastor, that was my thought. Huh? I know how to play games with teenagers. I've been doing that for 20 years. Pastor a church, and I'm still confused. It seems like just when you start getting comfortable, God gives you another one, then you're like, oh no. Thank God for more mature pastors that I can call. So have you ever encountered this in your 250 years? And thank God for people he's placed in your life. But I can only imagine what Peter's going through when everything has changed in his mind. Peter doesn't completely understand. He doesn't have all the answers. But Peter didn't wait for all the answers. Peter couldn't wait until he got comfortable. I need you to do something. Well, I'll get to it later. No. Later is disobedience, right? God calls you to do a task. He calls you now. You wait until you want to. You're not obeying him. You're obeying your desire. So God didn't wait for Peter to be comfortable. God didn't wait for Peter to say, okay, I think I'm ready. I understand now. Truth is, most of us would not obey God's tasks if we had a choice to say, okay, now I'm ready. All Peter had time to do right now was to keep listening. And here's a neat thing for you and I. When God gives a task and we don't know, what answers do I have? How am I going to do this? Where do I go next? Check this out. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let me repeat the beginning of that again. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to you liberally, freely. He'll pour it on you. Why? Because you're pursuing his wisdom. And God will give you all the wisdom you need. Here's what you do not have the right to pray for. Can I be honest with you? You do not have the right to pray for knowledge. But you have every obligation to pray for wisdom. And here's why I say you don't have the right to pray for knowledge. Lift up your Bible. Don't be shy. I know we're Baptists. You've got all the knowledge you need right there in your hands. Sometimes we're just too lazy to dig in. There's a difference. Knowledge. Just putting it in, taking time to study. Wisdom is how to apply it. God, how do I use this in my life? How do I apply what he taught me? How is that to be used specifically in my life? I can't ask for knowledge. He's given me all the knowledge I need. But Lord, how do I use this? And here's how he blessed you with wisdom, according to your study of his word. He can use the knowledge you allowed him to give to you. And the Spirit of God says he teaches you. The Spirit will start helping you apply it to your life and use it for God's honor. And right now, Peter's about to go preach and teach. And all he could do is, Lord, help me. Help me. God prepared Peter for each step. We're going to keep walking through this story. I don't know how many weeks exactly. I was planning 3, but it's probably going to be more. Never did God leave him unprepared. He gave Peter everything he needed for the next step. Here's our problem. It's taking the first step. We want to get all the way to the home run without taking the first step. The only way to get to your second step is taking the first one, yeah? And that's that first step of obedience. God will give you the wisdom to take that second step of obedience. And then the third step of obedience. And before you know it, and you look back, it's like, wow, God. You're awesome. You brought me this far. You've allowed me to do this. You allowed me to be involved in this. All because you had the faith to start praying, God, help me apply this to my life. God, I got something here. I don't know what to do. Help me apply it. And in baby steps, he gets you there through faith, through obedience. You and I are sent. As Peter's been sent to the Gentiles, he's going to preach. He's going to teach. You and I are sent. We are to be God's witnesses, His ambassadors, His representatives, to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your city, to your state, to your nation, to your world. How do people go all the way to Africa in obedience to God? Because they started with one step at home. They start praying, God, how do I apply? Where am I a witness? Who do I go to? And one step after another, they start getting a peace on where God wants them to go. We're called to be His light in this dark world. We're to shine like Jesus. That's why our life's supposed to be different. You know, darkness doesn't make a difference in a dark room. But a light can be seen for miles in a dark place. In our room, I don't care how dark it is outside, the blinds ain't affected, it's pitch black, we got a little red light on the front of the television. You can see that every night. If you're a light in this dark world, you're going to be noticed. Because you're going to be different. Why? It starts with letting God change your steps and guide your steps. It starts with obedience. Even Peter was confused, and he did great things for God, didn't he? He gave his life. Now, nobody gives his life without first taking that first step of faith in Christ. And he had so much faith, he said, yeah, you're going to kill me. Just don't kill me like you did Christ. I'm not worthy. Hang me upside down. Yeah. How did he get there? Praying. Obedience to his word. And you know what? God starts to use us. He preps us for the next step. Not after we have all the understanding, not after we process the teaching, not after we feel ready. He preps us now. Whatever you're going through, he's prepping you for that next step. Sometimes it's pleasant. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's hard. And as we go, God continues to protect and guide. And hopefully you have already gotten to a point that you can look back and see how God has blessed, has used you, has brought you to a different place of comfort and peace with Him. If not, don't wait. You want peace with Christ? Be in the center of His will, and you'll have peace with Him. Would you stand with me? The whole point of prayer and asking God for wisdom is that God would use us. Give me wisdom for my next step. Let me be yours, Lord. Mold me and guide me. In other words, make me a servant. Make me the servant that is obedient to you. Make me the servant that will accomplish your purpose. Is that your goal? Is that desire for your life? It starts with that one step of obedience. Lord, use your word to make it clear to me how I can be obedient. Sing with me.